BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening! Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the BDNG Meets podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG. So today I have great pleasure in introducing Mandy Aldrin-Easton, who is the Medical and Communications Manager for the Ichthyosis Support Group. I'm sure many of you know Mandy as she does sterling work for the group, and I'm sure many of you have met her as well. So welcome Mandy today. And Mandy has also, we've been working behind the scenes in the BDNG. We've been doing journal articles and more podcasts to get the message out there about ichthyosis. But today we have Georgia Butler, who is the mum of Savannah. And today we're going to be joining, we're going to group together and talk about the ichthyosis journey from a parent's perspective. So welcome, Georgia, today. It's really great to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here and great to be asked and help with the bringing ichthyosis to the forefront of people's minds.
That's fantastic. And that's it. When we hear patient voices or somebody that's been involved directly with, yeah, especially a child, it really does resonate with the listener. And as nurses, it's always the one we remember, definitely. So it's really great that you're here and able to share your story. So, Georgia, can you first of all just tell me what exactly happened? I know Savannah was born in September 22, so can you sort of begin the journey and how you came across what was happening with Savannah?
Yeah, so all through my pregnancy, everything was fine. I had all the necessary scans, I had tests done, things like that, all the normal things, and everything fine. She arrived a couple of weeks early, but nothing alarming, just as it was absolutely fine. She arrived after quite a long labour. She arrived and she did arrive safely, so that was good. So when she was born, she had a very slight blister on the side of her face, and that was the first thing that the midwife looked at and went off to get a doctor. The doctor came back in and had a look at her and said she needed to go off to the neonatal unit, and that was all that we heard. And then the doctor returned, asked us if we had any history of skin conditions in our family. We said no, and that was kind of it for the night. She was born at about 2:34 in the morning, so we didn't see her again until the following morning when we went to the neonatal unit. And it was then you could quite obviously see that she had a collodion membrane, so she was a collodion baby. So again, this wasn't a term that we heard for a few days. It was only when she got like an appointment letter to go to the ophthalmologist for her eyes that it was written that she was a collodion baby. And we were confused. We were like, what is this? No doctors or nurses had mentioned this to us. And we were told that they were very reliant on waiting to hear back from Great Ormond Street because they weren't sure on what to do, what was going to happen ultimately. We were a bit in the dark for a few days, and I think that was quite a hard time for us because we were sort of thinking, obviously, like you just do, don't you? You think, oh my goodness, yeah. Like are we even going to bring our baby home? What's life going to look like for her? When can we go home? I remember I just kept asking the nurses every day. I was like, can we go home yet? Can we go home yet? It was a tough one because we were, like I say, we were in the dark. I mean, there was a neonatal nurse there and she said she'd been a nurse for, I think it's nearly 25 years. And I think she said she'd only ever seen two other collodion babies. Really rare. And I think some of them hadn't seen it at all. The doctors were just waiting on Great Ormond Street's lead. Basically, they didn't have any further advice on what to do. So that's what happened. We eventually went to go and see Great Ormond Street. They looked at her. Couldn't really do much else. They were waiting for genetic results and things like that. We got those back eventually, and Savannah has lamellar ichthyosis. So we got those back a few months later. She goes for regular checkups now. But Great Ormond Street and I discovered sort of on the internet and stuff, the Ichthyosis Support Group, So yeah, we're regularly touching base with Mandy at ISG, with other members of ISG. So yeah, that's where we are today. And yeah, she's Savannah is nearly two now. She's happy, wild, crazy. So that's where we are.
That's a really stressful time to go through, though. I mean, as a new mum, I mean, you've got the natural stress there of, you know, having a newborn child. Is she your first child?
Yeah.
It's even more stressful. Yeah. And also, I think, had you actually heard what ichthyosis was before all this had happened?
I'd never even heard of ichthyosis ever. And I think I remember the first time I saw it written down, I didn't even know how to say it. It was crazy, because one minute, like, I was pregnant and everything was fine and we were excited for her to arrive. And then the next minute she'd arrived and everything wasn't fine. And she was diagnosed with like an illness that she will always have, and I was in denial for a long time. I think I was like, no, like that can't be right, because everything was fine. So to then go from that to her being diagnosed with something that I'd never even heard of was crazy. And like you say, along with being a new mum and a first time mum, it was a crazy time. And I look back now and I'm like, why didn't I just like enjoy it more? I almost don't remember her being so tiny, I think, because I was so stressed and so worried. So I feel like it's sort of not, I don't want to use the word ruined, but it did encroach in like on our newborn bubble. And I look back and I still get jealous of people now when they've got their new babies, and I'm like, oh, I didn't feel like I had that experience with mine. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still absolutely love her so much. But I mean, just that whole little like bubble at first where you're just like, oh, my baby's here, they're safe, they're happy, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like I've ruined it for myself, really, because it was just me overthinking, not reaching out and things like that. So.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, I can understand. I know how myself, how stressful it was when you're a new mum, but to have that added pressure on. And like you mentioned there, a couple of points there, you know, there was a nurse that had been there 25 years and maybe seen it twice. Mm-hmm. And also some nurses just wouldn't have known what this is, you know. And I think that's the issue, isn't it, as well, because you're kind of relying on the healthcare professional to tell you. And when they're in doubt, then it's difficult.
Exactly. And there's been like a few times, I mean, at about 3 months old, Savannah was, she had RSV. And she ended up in hospital with that. And when we went into A&E with her, with her breathing, and she'd sort of stopped drinking as much milk, we sort of had to explain to the nurses. We were like, I know it's only been a few hours that she's not been feeding properly, but she is normally a really good feeder, and she does have ichthyosis, which means she can get dehydrated more easily and things like this. So you're always having to like explain things to people, because they just see, oh, it's just a skin condition, but actually there's so much more to it than that. And obviously, like Dan, my husband, and I, we have to be there to advocate for her for that, because some people just think, oh, she's just not had a few feeds, it'll be fine, she's just a baby. But no, she's not just a baby, she has ichthyosis, and if she's not feeding properly, then she'll get dehydrated and she can get even more poorly from that. So it's sort of having that, you have to have the degree of knowledge to pass on to the health professionals in that situation sometimes, because they don't know, and it's not their fault. You just always have to be one step ahead, I think. Without sounding patronising as well, because sometimes I'm sort of saying to like the nurses and the doctors, I'm like, oh yeah, but this, but that, but this.
I think that's quite a natural thing, though, as well, because, you know, as healthcare professionals, we're not all experts in everything. And I think, you know, I mean, many patients come into me and have to explain the journey once again, what's been happening, you know, with other skin conditions as well. And, you know, as a healthcare professional, we very much rely on the parent or the person that's actually has the skin condition to let us inform us about, you know, how they've been treated or what they've had in the past and how they're coping. And, you know, it's really important that people do that and have this sort of partnership with the healthcare professional as well. So going back to Savannah then, I mean, obviously you've explained there a wee bit about her journey and you know, the stress of being a new mum and, you know, missing out on, unfortunately, some life events as well, you know. And I think that's a mum guilt thing. I think, you know, we all can feel that way as well. I'm sure you did a sterling, absolutely amazing job, George. I mean, I know how much you love your little girl and support her. So what kind of, just to sort of educate our listeners, what kind of treatments or what kind of advice were you given to look after Savannah in the early days?
So in the very, very beginning, while she was still in the hospital, she was recommended to be in a high humidity incubator. So I think this was at like 80% humidity or something crazy. But yeah, so she was in there and she had eye drops, and she was moisturised with 50-50 lotion every hour. So yeah, that was... that was for the first week while she was in the hospital. She also, it was just little things, like they put the little name tags on her ankles and her skin got so sore from having those on that we took them off. And she also had like the clip that they put on their belly button, their umbilical cord, and it was sort of wedged under her nappy, and that gave her a really nasty like cut just below her belly button, and so she couldn't have that on either. So yeah, and it was just I think a lot of what they were doing at first in the neonatal unit was looking out for signs of infection, because collodion babies and people with ichthyosis are more prone to infections. So, and obviously especially in a tiny newborn, you have to look for infection, sepsis, things like that. So fortunately Savannah was fine. So she did have like a cannula in her hand for a day or two, but after that she was fine. So that was really lucky. So and then we came home, and it was again just keeping up with the regular moisturising, hourly eye drops day and night. They did ask us to go to every 2 hours once we left the hospital with her eyes, but we went back to the ophthalmologist, the eye doctor, next week, and he said there was a few signs of dryness in her eyes, so to go back to every hour. So obviously that was tough, like in the night. Not so bad actually when she was tiny, because we were up like a few times in the night feeding her, so we actually only had to wake up maybe like one more time to do an eye drop. So yeah, and I think the hourly eye drops continued for until she was about one. And then they went to every 2 hours, and then a couple of times overnight. So that sort of eased things a little bit. So yes, it is intense. You feel like you do one eye drop, and then you literally do one other thing, and then eye drop time again. It is. And then yeah, moisturising just super often. Basically, the more often the better. We find that she does get maybe drier areas, so at the moment she's suffering a bit with her neck, that's very dry, so we're trying to keep it moisturized a lot, otherwise she'll scratch and it will bleed. Fortunately she doesn't get too many spots like that, but she will have the odd bit here and there. Regular moisturizing, eye drops, and then I use a lot of other things. So we use vegetable glycerin in with her cream in the mornings. I put coconut oil into her scalp every night, because she does suffer with like dry skin build up on her scalp. Baths, regular baths. She has always has one a day, and sort of when we can and things like that with her, we give her two. And we quite often top her face up. We find if her face gets dry, her eyes can pull a little bit, and obviously they become drier like that. It really is non-stop, really.
But, a lot to deal with, and especially as a new mum as well. And you know, you've mentioned there the amount of eye drops, the amount of moisturising that you have to do as well. Mm-hmm. And going back to that point about emollients and moisturisers, have you found that you've had to go through quite a few variations, or how?
We've tried quite a few. So we started out with 50-50, which is what the hospital gave us to use, and things like that. And while it was good, we found it to just sort of sit on the skin and transfer to everything else that she touched. Which especially as she got bigger wasn't really very practical when she was moving around more. We did try a few things, mainly after the ichthyosis support group conference day. We took away a few samples, so we tried a QV cream, we tried there was another brand, Aquaderm. We tried Hydromol, and we just found we got on really well with Hydromol. So that's the one we use now, a Hydromol ointment. It seems to just go on the nicest. It actually absorbs into her skin. seems to be long lasting. So yeah, we did have to go through a few different ones, and it all worked quite well that when we found that we liked the Hydromol, we bought some from Amazon. But then we had an appointment with our consultant at Great Ormond Street. So she asked the doctor to prescribe the Hydromol, which was good. That seems to be, I don't want to jinx it, touch wood, that seems to be readily available. There doesn't seem to be kind of supply issues, which we have suffered with the eye drops at the beginning. And that was a whole other stressful story. But yeah.
Absolutely. And that's a difficulty, isn't it? I mean, you know, sometimes you do, you know, have the right emollient and maybe it does, you know, we have problems getting stock or, you know, that is another stress layer to add on to everything else that you're dealing with as well. Yeah. So how often do you go to the hospital? How often do you see your specialist?
So we see our consultant at Great Ormond Street twice a year. So we last saw her in April and we're next seeing her again in October. So generally she will just see how Savannah's doing, see how her development's doing, ask us if we've got any concerns, any questions. She'll update us on anything that's going on. There's a trial at the moment for a topical cream for Savannah's type of ichthyosis. So she kind of updates us on that. So we do have the option of having that appointment online rather than in person, but I just find going there and them seeing her and us speaking to our consultant face to face, I much prefer it, and they can weigh her, check her height and things like that. So it's just a bit of reassurance, and we try and make a day out of it anyway in London. So it works well, and yeah, we're really fortunate. And Savannah does also see a paediatrician locally who saw her since she was first born, and we generally see him once a year, and that's what it seems at the moment. So we saw him in January, and I think he said he'll next see us in December. So yeah, fantastic. It's nice. Yeah, and I feel like he has sort of taken an interest, and I suppose it's good for him as well because obviously he's just at the local hospital, so they don't see children with ichthyosis often, so it's good for him to see how she's doing, and obviously arm himself up with knowledge for future. It's good. I feel like we are fairly well supported.
That's great. You've got that medical support, isn't it? And obviously you've got expert help there as well. And it is a learning process. And I mean, there's lots of different types of ichthyosis. It's not just under one name, isn't it? So, you know, it's not just a case of learning about one condition. There's lots out there. And I think, you know, it is, you know, people do not see it. So it's great that you're getting that medical support. And that's great for Savannah. And, you know, you're going to go through a bit of a, you know, obviously you're going to have different ages in the future, and it's just going to be, you know, getting that support, isn't it, that you actually need at a certain age, definitely. So as a mum then, you know, you've gone through that, you're doing your eye drops, you're doing your emollients, you're, you know, probably speaking to healthcare professionals that maybe have never seen ichthyosis, or, you know, it's all very new, dealing with the stress of being a new mum as well. So how did you get your support? I know you now and big sort of influence with the ichthyosis support group, but did you reach out to them? Did you know about them? How did that happen?
Yeah, so we had, Savannah went for her very first checkup at Great Ormond Street when she was 2 weeks old, and again when she was about 3 months old, which I think is when our consultant first mentioned the ichthyosis support group to us. I undernarred about it, but didn't look into it. I was still a bit in denial at the time. I didn't look into it. And I didn't look into it, I think, until she was about 6 months old. And then I looked on the website one day and I was reading through it, and I instantly thought to myself, I was like, why didn't I look at this before? Why have you been so silly? I was a bit sort of kicking myself really that I hadn't just done it before and had left it 6 months. I started chatting to Mandy at first. I think she reached out to me after she saw a post of mine, we got chatting about things, and obviously she mentioned she was she worked at ISG, and it went from there really, and it just happened that 3 or 4 months later was the Ichthyosis Support Group conference day in Shrewsbury. So we travelled up there and met Mandy. That was lovely because we'd been chatting on Facebook for a while. So yeah, it was good to finally meet her. We met other families, other members, people that understood it. It was great. So yeah, I'm annoyed that I didn't do it sooner, but glad that we were in time for the conference day.
Right. And it's great meeting people that, you know, have similar sort of conditions or similar, you know, a similar sort of journey that you're going through, you know, that doubts, that not knowing, you know, it's great to actually meet people that you can actually speak openly to, isn't it? And have that support.
It really is. And I mean, I feel like I understand ichthyosis, but I understand it obviously as a parent. I don't have ichthyosis, so I will never understand it from Savannah's point of view. But to speak to like older people with ichthyosis that have it and to see that they are like confident and outgoing and happy was great, because I was like, oh, phew, like they're older. They know they have a skin condition. They know that not everyone has a skin condition. And so that's what I've always worried about with Savannah, because I know that she has a visual difference. So I was going to, what will she be like as she grows up? Will she be shy, or will she feel different and things like that? So to meet people that are older and are in that situation and do have a visual difference and similar to Savannah's, it's just kind of like a breath of fresh air, because I was like, actually I think everything will be okay. It's invaluable, and just to meet other parents that understand what we're going through as parents of a child with ichthyosis was brilliant. We get loads of support from our family and friends. It's invaluable, and we're really fortunate. But I don't, most of them, apart from maybe our parents, I think they don't fully understand and appreciate how much work we have to put into looking after Savannah and her appointments and the days off work and things like that, and sort of everything. Our days focus around Savannah. We can't leave the house until she has a bath, things like that. So so it's nice to be in a room with people that get it.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think you probably relax more, don't you? You would feel more relaxed in that environment because, you know, people are going through the same sort of feelings that you're happening. And, you know, we know Savannah's too, you know, we've got lots of ages that are going to be in the future when you're hitting school and different things like that, you know, and it's great to have that support, not just medical, but also people that are very similar and going through the same.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that we're really fortunate that we've got a little chat set up with children of similar ages parents. So I'm hoping that as they grow up and we attend more ISG family days and conference days, that Savannah will sort of strike up some friendships with some children like similar to her age, and that she won't feel different or like no one's like her, things like that. So I'm really hopeful that she'll make some lovely friends and look forward to seeing them each year and hopefully in between as well. But I think it is a massive thing, I think, because we're her parents, we're not her, so we're kind of doing everything that we can to make sure that she can walk into a room and feel relaxed as well.
That's really positive, and you're doing absolutely fantastic. And I think the massive thing I would think about when, you know, speaking to yourself and having spoken to Mandy as well, is Savannah's two. You know, you've started this from 6 months, so Savannah's going to be surrounded by, you know, people that are going through the same and, you know, have that support. And like you say, she's going to build friendships from a very young age. She's not going in at 18 or in her 20s to a strange room when, you know, people are... Yeah. And it might be very different for her, but to have that love and support very much from the beginning is really quite a strength to have.
I think you're right. I think that she'll sort of kind of grow up just naturally knowing these other people with ichthyosis, and I hope that she won't feel like she's the only person in the world with it, because I know that she's not. But I mean, sometimes I think when you do have, I don't know, things wrong with you, you can feel like that, can't you, especially on like bad days and things like that. So I'm really hopeful that as she grows that she'll just naturally know these people that have the same skin condition as her, and that she's not actually any different actually from you and I. So yeah, that's my take on it. And I suppose you're right, actually. I was thinking 6 months at the time. I was thinking, why did I leave it this long? But like you say, looking back now that she's two in a few weeks, that she's actually 6 months was probably actually was fine. She doesn't know. So so yeah, 6 months is in the grand scheme of things when she's 10 years old.
Totally.
Exactly. So
she's not gonna remember that 6 month age, definitely not. No, so I'd say, you know, as parents, you're doing an absolutely amazing, you know, job, and you know, she really is getting a lot of support there, which is fantastic, really positive. And I think to our listeners as well, to hear that, you know, the support that you can actually achieve through such a young age is something that, you know, will resonate and really, you know, help other children hopefully as well. So I'm going to bring in Mandy quickly here, just about the actual support group, the Achiosis support group, and also the fact that, you know, obviously Savannah was very young, 6 months, you know, new parents. And do you find, Mandy, that there's a lot of parents of similar ages that join this group? I mean, and I know, you know, ichthyosis can happen in later life, but do you find parents that the support group has enough sort of, not advertising, but, you know, people know about it, so they can actually join very early on, because it's such a positive thing to happen?
We get contacted by a huge age range of people, you know, be it from somebody like Georgia with, you know, just a 6 month old, even sometimes people with, you know, younger children, but right up to people in, you know, their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s even. And the event that Georgia mentioned that her and her family came to, you know, Savannah was one of the very youngest there, but we had people in their 70s attending as well, because perhaps they had only just reached out themselves because they felt they were able to, or they had questions. And that is something, actually, as you grow up, or as your child grows up, you have different questions at different points in your life. So, you know, that's really a key thing. But I would say people do find us online. Yes, they search and they find us. But I would really strongly ask healthcare professionals, be it dermatology nurses, dermatologists, midwives, paediatricians, please signpost your patients and your families to groups such as the Ichthyosis Support Group, because we're a community. And yes, medical input is absolutely extremely important, but actually managing and living with the condition, the holistic approach to having these conditions and being able to live well with them is so important. And it's the community that can really support the families and the individuals with ichthyosis to just live well with the condition. So it's important that we hear from families, that we can connect them, you know, with other families or with other individuals, because sharing experiences firsthand, I think, is one of the biggest things that can just help you manage the condition better. And I don't know, I'd be interested to ask Georgia about, you know, yes, it's about treating the skin and finding the right emollient, but actually, what's the impact on your washing machine and the amount of washing you have to do? And, you know, is there a huge amount of extra washing because, you know, there's a lot of the greasy creams that Savannah needs for her ichthyosis? But, you know, there's that sort of big impact on families and people as well, you know, changing bedding, hoovering up skin scales because, you know, the skin sheds and peels and all that sort of thing has a huge daily impact on life as well. And that is just really something important that actually healthcare professionals don't always think about. It's not something you deal with when you're treating a skin condition, but it's a massive impact for the family and the person that has the condition. So my plea really is to just please everybody signpost patients and families to, you know, our organisation, to the Ichthyosis Support Group, because it is, you know, it's the big all-round holistic approach to looking after and caring for people with the condition.
Fantastic. And that's really good points to make, you know, the impact it has on quality of life. I mean, as healthcare professionals, you know, we have these short appointment times, and sometimes this focus can be very altered onto, you know, what treatments are we going to use today, emollients and eye drops that Georgia mentioned. So I think, you know, looking at the ichthyosis support group site as well, it's fantastic. It's really well laid out. The support's there for people to join. And I think, like you say, Mandy, it's really important for healthcare professionals to signpost, because that's quite a simple thing to do. And, you know, we can't provide all that information in such a short time. So, and like Georgia said as well, you know, the support and to meet people, and for a daughter to meet people that are very similar is such an important aspect of life, isn't it? So, Georgia, I'm just going to bring you back in. Thank you very much, Mandy, for explaining all that ichthyosis does. I know, obviously, it's a thought as a mum, but your daughter will be going to school eventually. It'll come around before you know it. Looking at the website, I mean, I can see there's some really good, valuable preschool information and leaflets. Do you find, or I mean, I know it's going to be in the future, but would you find that, you know, going to school, that you're happy to say to the teachers, this is what it's all about and this is the education that can be provided?
Yeah, definitely. So Savannah actually goes to nursery one day a week at the moment, and in a couple of weeks she's actually going to be going 2 days. She's growing up so quickly. So when I was first explaining the health condition to them, I included a link to the ISG website and to the preschool and school information pack in particular, which I know has just actually recently been updated, so I must have a look and resend. But yeah, so no, definitely. I think I explained obviously all the skin condition, the treatment that they'd need to provide for her while she was in their care, and also any like implications and things like that. So no, I think nurseries and obviously I haven't had the experience of schools yet, but I hope that they're the same. I think they're very receptive of health conditions and they understand the importance of things. So yeah, no, I felt, and I think because I felt knowledgeable about the condition, that I could kind of go to them and say, look, this is the condition. She needs this, this, and this. If it's a hot day, she needs to be kept cool. If you notice her face going red, that means she's too hot, and things like this. So I think I felt very very kind of empowered and confident discussing it with them, because I felt like I had the knowledge, and like I say, most of that comes because from the ISG, and having that kind of that backup that, yeah, we're doing everything right and this is what she needs and things like that. So yeah, no, I did feel confident. I kind of, it sounds a bit bad, but I felt a bit bad at first because I was like, oh gosh, I'm sending her to nursery and they've got, they're going to have to do so much with her. I hope that they don't find her like a hindrance or things like that, because she needs the extra care compared to the other children. But I actually didn't feel like that at all, and they were really good. And like when I pick, they always say, oh, we've done her eye drops today, she's been really good, and or she's due a moisturiser, but obviously like I pick her up at 6 o'clock, and sometimes it's just that she's had her dinner and they haven't quite got to it yet, so they're like, oh, we haven't quite done it yet, and I said, fine, I'll take her home and get ready for bed anyway. So no, they're really good, they're really receptive, and they understand. So yeah, no, I feel really confident about discussing things like that with them. And yeah, that is important, because I feel like if I did have a bad experience with that, it would throw me off. But no, I think we're lucky that our nursery is quite small as well. So I know all the people that look after her, and I've sort of met them when I've dropped her off. So no, I felt confident, speaking to them, and yeah.
Thank you, Georgia, for just such an inspirational opening up there of the journey that, you know, Savannah and yourselves have been on. It's really valuable to our listeners. We have some fantastic news that we've got quite a few podcasts with Ichthyosis Support Group coming up, to have different perspectives of ichthyosis that, you know, many healthcare professionals see very, very rarely or not at all. So it's really good to have that education out there, and also to for us to be able to signpost to the ichthyosis support group, which is fantastic. So I'd like just quickly to bring in Mandy, who is instrumental in the work that she does for the ichthyosis support group. And as recently, we've got a journal article coming up very soon in the journal as well, which we're hoping we can grow and develop more journal articles in the future. So Mandy, what would you like to say to our listeners, some keynotes out there just for our listeners before we close this podcast?
Well, I'm looking forward also to the other podcasts we're doing, because obviously George's story is really important to raise awareness of those very early days of having, you know, a new child, a new baby with ichthyosis. But we do also need to remember that people, as Georgia mentioned, you know, children grow up with ichthyosis. It doesn't go away. So both parents and children need ongoing support throughout life to live with ichthyosis. And also, not all ichthyosis is, is the same as Savannah. So there are people with milder ichthyosis, but actually, even those with milder ichthyosis do require support sometimes. Not everybody does, but some people do. And those milder types of ichthyosis are much more common and do sometimes occur with atopic dermatitis as well. So, you know, healthcare professionals may be seeing more ichthyosis than they think. So that's really important. And just the other key thing, just going back to what Georgia said, the lack of information in those very early days. We desperately need to educate, and I realise this is a different field, but we desperately need to educate midwives and paediatricians on ichthyosis, and then obviously dermatology nurses as well, that may be seeing various types of ichthyosis but just may not realise it. Education is so key, so that families can be properly informed about their condition, because ultimately they're genetic conditions. So, you know, that is really important to understand the genetics of all the different types of ichthyosis and how they can be passed on, inherited, etc.
That's fantastic, Mandy. Thank you for those words, and so important words as well for us to, you know, to get that education out there. We know there's many different types of ichthyosis, and like Mandy says as well, we might be seeing more than we actually realise as well. So once again, a massive thank you to George for sharing her story, and also to Mandy, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we hope to have a whole series about ichthyosis in the future. Thank you very much, both.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.